Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 5, which for me is week 10 of my pregnancy. And I'm here with I'm Hannah Norris, and this is my husband.
Hello.
What's your name?
Carl Donnelly.
Yeah, Carl Donnelly. That's my husband. And we're here with a guest this week, which is very exciting. She is a performance artist, writer, workshop leader, amazing woman. True. And her name is Bryony Kimmings.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to my home, my kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm here with my husband, these two chocolate buttons.
And your son Frank in the background, who we've got watching telly.
What's he watching?
Despicable Me 3.
Quality. Best of the trilogy.
Trilogy. I've never really thought of it as a trilogy, but yeah, the best of the trilogy.
True. Yeah, so and this podcast, I was just explaining to Bryony before, is about pregnancy, because that's what's happening in my life right now. And Bryony...
In your womb right now.
Yeah, in my womb, in my body, in my world. And Bryony has been pregnant before.
True.
Because we have a child here. And I was remembering the other day that we were in Adelaide together, and I had to look out to see if you got your period.
My God, you remember that? You were in the front row. We were in a tiny little tent I don't know what they're called, actually, a little circus tent.
Yeah.
In the Spiegel Garden, weren't we? And then I was like, I'm definitely going to be getting my period soon, so just be careful when I do that bit where I bend over when there's not, I've got hardly any knickers on.
Yeah.
Check if there's any blood. And I was like, I think I told you the day when I was like, you don't need to check for blood anymore, Hannah.
Yeah.
I've done a period. No, I've done a pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And I'm up the duff.
Yeah, it was happening.
Yeah, weird.
Which is cool. And then I was remembering as well, because being in Melbourne at the same time, and that you were doing your show there and I was working, so I didn't see you that much, but I kind of remember you being tired.
Oh my God, so tired and so sick.
Yeah. Were you throwing up or what was...
No, I don't think I threw up once.
Yeah.
I felt so tired that I was probably able to get up about 4 o'clock on a show day, go and just try not to puke for ages. A lovely lady that was working at Theatre Works at the time was giving me a packet of saltine crackers and a can of fizzy orange, and that was what I could eat that day. That's all I could get down.
Yeah.
Salt and sugar, she said, they're the two things that will keep you from puking. Go on stage, do a show, shake everyone's hands, and then go back to the hotel, which was like two doors down, and just sleep. And then I just repeated it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we had a dream holiday booked in Sydney, and I just spent the whole time in bed.
I kind of knew that was happening, but not sort of... having not really engaging with that until it's happening to me now, going, oh shit, I'm so tired all the time and I feel sick. Not really understanding that that's what happens.
It's hard to ever fully understand it until you're in it. But like, it's like Wendy Wason said last week that it felt like having a hangover for a month or two.
Yeah, just lethargy and also super, I mean, I was super emotional. Like I was away from my mum, and I think I always thought when we were trying for a baby, it wasn't that I was shocked or anything. We were trying, but... I was a bit like, why am I doing this when I should be at my mum's house, like hibernating with my sisters, you know, like it felt really like primal. Like, and I remember Tim, but me just being like, get away from me, don't sleep in the same bed. I was like a little like cat. I was like, get away.
Yeah. Lottie was there, wasn't she? She wasn't there that time.
It was just me and Tim.
Oh.
Tim was just like, whoa, what? So a monster's taken my girlfriend. And I was just like, go away. I was so angry and gross, and yeah, like, I remember, I can't even, like, there's one place, actually, in Melbourne on St Kilda Road where it's a vegan place, actually, you guys probably know it, it's, like, on the corner, and it does lovely food, but I, even this time I went, recently, I can't even walk past it. Even the look of the sign makes me feel like I'm in a pew.
Yeah, that's what happens whenever I open the fridge right now. I have a little...
Everything smells so much more.
I made such a mistake earlier on. Do you remember I tried to show you a funny Twitter thing, which was... it's called Jakey Tees. It's a Scottish Twitter feed where they put really bad... like dinners, so it's I was like, oh, this is funny. I went to show Hannah and instantly regretted it. I was like, I'm sorry, I can't be showing you this right now. And I'm sitting there thinking it was funny watching somebody put mac and cheese in a baguette and Hannah's and baguette. I just totally forgot.
Yeah,
I'm just now remembering how it all felt. Like, you don't even really think about it afterwards.
Yeah,
that's what, a strange experience though.
Yeah, well, that's that thing. That's why I wanted to talk to other people about what their experiences were like as well, because I only know it from me and little bits that you can read or find out about, but knowing that everyone has something different and it experiences it in their own way in their bodies. Like yesterday, I was sick yesterday, and I was the whole day. I was like, I wasn't sure if I'd just got a bug, a 24-hour bug, or it was a full on morning sickness day. But I was in bed, couldn't, you know, my body was so heavy. I didn't end up being sick, but it was just an intense.
Do you know what it is? I don't know what it is. Well, obviously you're growing another human, so it must take a lot of your energy, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. Away. And I know, like, the first trimester is when the most growth happens.
Oh, okay.
So that's like, the most intense, from kind of going from a cell into the size that it grows to, which I think right now is a kumquat, is what...
It's always like fruit-based.
You can choose inches. On the app. Yeah. There's an app you can choose, different, like you can choose 80s like technologies.
Oh, so, cool.
Like, it's a Game Boy, it's a cool. Sega Mega Drive. It's like, I like that one. I just felt very sad all the time.
Did you?
Yeah. As soon as I found out I was pregnant, it was weird. Tim was like, yay. And I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life.
But it was something you wanted as well.
It was something I totally wanted, but I was just like, why? I just felt completely lost straight away. I was just like, I don't know who I am anymore. What am I meant to do with this now?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't tell anyone at all. I just spent the whole pregnancy just going, I love, in fact, that's not true. In tandem of being like, oh my God, I'm having a baby, I'm so excited, was also like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. That's interesting to note. Like, I'm really like, feel those moments where I'm kind of touching my stomach and aware of it happening in my body. And then sometimes I'm like, completely forget that that's going on right now. Yeah, because that's sort of being disconnected. But with the hormones and the emotions, I've been pretty steady. With IVF, been having to take progesterone.
Oh, wow.
Which is, so from the whole, like, you do all these injections and stuff, and then when you actually get pregnant, then I was on progesterone injections at first, which Carl had to inject
into my bum. Progesterone, I'm trying to think of what that
is. It's like the pregnancy hormone, basically.
Does it make you feel anything?
Well, I think... I've been fine. Like, it hasn't, I've been quite steady.
Yeah.
And then I was taking estrogen tablets as well, because I think when they extract the eggs, they can extract the thing that makes progesterone. So they just boost you up with it to make sure that because it's needed. But at the moment I have to spinning top. But I'm still having to take progesterone, which I have to do for 12 weeks. And right now I have to take it as pessaries.
Oh, gross. Frank, don't be so noisy. Don't be so noisy. Stop playing.
Stop. Sit still. He just threw it.
I'm only joking. Sorry. Do what you like. I'm joking. We are recording a podcast. So unprofessional.
But the pessaries, they're vaginal. I have to take two at night time and two in the morning.
Wow.
And
there's like an applicator you have to put up.
Oh, yeah. A bit like when you have Caniston. Pessaries.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever had thrush.
Every day. Everyone has.
Oh, God. Oh, you've just reminded me of something really awful.
What's that?
I had it awful. Actually, I had a terrible pregnancy.
Yeah.
Not even, I wasn't sick though, but I was, I got genital warts.
Yeah.
Which you can be a carrier of just from shagging.
Well, HPV, again, HPV, everyone has that.
Do they have, pretty much everyone has it, don't they? Because it's like sort of everyone in London's had sex with everyone else. But I've never actually had it. And then, like, they said, oh, I said, oh, I'm really got really itchy fanny for the whole time. And I was like, God, I must have just constantly have thrush.
Yeah.
And I went to my midwife and she was like, let's have a look. And then she was like, no, you've got genital warts. So I was like, oh, for God's sake. And I was like, Tim, have you shagged anyone? And he was like, no, of course not. And she was like, oh, no, you can be a carrier. And with all those hormones that you've got in your body,
yeah,
you can get it. And another friend of mine, I called her and she said, oh, yeah, I had that. And then the day after I gave birth to him, they went.
Yeah, right. But they were there for most, how long?
It was so itchy. I couldn't believe it. I just basically spent my time just like wiggling on chair.
Those dogs right, that, yeah, like just drag just themselves on the floor.
That was bad. What else happened to me? Oh my God, I had this drip. No, this won't happen to you. I had this nasal drip problem. Like I had this, oh my God, I can remember it. Like it got so bad. My sinuses got so blocked and it smelt so bad. That's so gross, but that's what happened. That Tim and I used to have to kiss in the show, and once I kissed him and he nearly puked.
Oh, no.
In the show. And he was just like, don't kiss me next time. Like,
from the smell of...
From the smell of my rotten nasal passages. You know when people are like, oh, such a beautiful time?
Yeah.
It's fucking not. It's awful. The mucus plug falling out in your knickers is horrible. Like, everything's just, it's fine.
What's
but
that
it's just,
mucus plug?
When you're about to give birth.
Yeah.
And your waters may or may not break.
Yeah.
There's a... If you think that in, obviously, when you get really big, you've got like a 8-pound, 9-pound baby in there.
Mm.
There's... You develop this plug in your cervix, and it sort of basically like seals it up, like a think of it like a cheese.
Yeah,
you know, like you're sealing it up, keeping it fresh. Well, when it's ready, the baby's ready to come out, the mucus plug softens and goes into your knickers, and it's fucking rank. It's like just, someone's like snotted into your knickers.
Not huge.
Just a little bit of sort of mucus and blood. And then I had the lovely experience of my waters breaking, which I absolutely loved, actually.
What was that like?
Well, I hypnobirthed. You know that, don't you? So, because my anxiety got really bad and I was like struggling to just, I was really worried about birth and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. And my mum's super hippie and she pushed us all out with a paracetamol. You know, she's, yeah, you're right. Just saying, mummy. Okay. That's good kneeling. Well done. I like that. Frank has physio, so he has to do all these things. So that's really good kneeling. You've eaten some sweets, I know. Well done. So I was meditating a lot in that last couple of months just to try and get my anxiety down, and it really helped. And I also had a really nice NCT one-to-one with a friend of mine who's a midwife who, you know, explained it all to me, and I love knowing all the sciencey stuff.
Yeah.
So I felt totally fine after that. And I really enjoyed my evening and morning meditation. So I just had a glass of mulled wine because we'd been to the fireworks. I lay down in the bed. I was huge by that point. I mean, Frank was a 9-pound baby anyway with a gigantic head. But I lay in bed, just finished my meditation, was just drifting off to sleep. And then this like amazingly warm feeling, like pissing yourself, but not knowing that you've... So not like deciding to piss yourself, just like the feeling of warm loads. And I was like, oh, and then it made me so happy because I was like, he's coming. Like, it was so nice. It was really gentle. Most of my birth experience, you know this already, was really lovely.
Yeah.
And once I'd got into hypnobirthing, I felt like I had sorted out a lot of my pregnancy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my anxiety.
Because I've read a book recently called Give Birth Like a Feminist.
Oh, wow.
By this woman, Millie Hill, who's a journalist. But
that might be the most annoying title that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I really wasn't attracted to the title at all.
I hate the sound of this book.
But it's a lot about the way that we are scared of birth and kind of the images we get shown of it, and the way that we don't necessarily feel in control to ask for certain things or have feminism in the birth room at all, really.
Which is weird because all the women that are midwives are probably feminists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have it at home if I were you, Han.
It's been mooted, hasn't it?
We were talking.
I mean, we were joking because Hannah bought me a hot tub for Christmas 2 years ago, and we've joked about using the.
You can use in the garden, aren't you?
I looked at
God. Hang on, when are you due?
June.
In the garden.
Prosecco. I just got to tell the neighbours.
Yeah.
Tell the neighbours it's happening. Turn the music up really loud is what I said. Try and drown out any.
Our upstairs neighbours are DJs. Yeah. We'll get them to just DJ the whole thing.
I don't think. Yeah, just loads of baby songs. I don't know if you'll scream. I didn't scream. I don't remember screaming. Everyone has a different experience.
Except hypnobirthing as well.
I think you'd, to be honest, really love hypnobirthing because it's so all of the language has changed. So instead of saying a contraction, which means, you know, like obviously sucking into something, so clamping down. It's called a surge. So you, and the language that they use to talk to you, and the dad gets lots of work to do as well. There's certain specific types of massage, and there's lots of breathing techniques and visualizations that you can both do together.
Yeah.
And me and Tim loved it.
Yeah.
And we're not particularly hippie like you two.
Yes, yeah. Actually, we're going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go full
I'm
crystals
gonna end up
healing
wearing
bar.
Like a shaman outfit and stuff.
Yeah. You'll be carrying the placenta around.
Oh, I will name it. And then eat it. I'll eat the placenta.
Something. A woman, oh God, I've seen it on something. It's called lotus birthing.
I thought I'd made it up.
You keep the umbilical cord and the placenta attached to your child until it naturally falls away. Yeah. And so you carry it. You cut because obviously that's a bit of basically of like liver, you know, it's a massive piece of meat basically, and it must be rank. So they put salt on it and they kind of cure it, and they carry it around in a bag
attached to the baby
until it breaks off, and then they eat it.
I'm up for it.
Oh, I bet you are. Carrying around loads
it's
of
vegan.
Meat.
Vegan, that'd be the first bit of meat I've eaten in 7 years.
Yeah, it's true. My friend Zainab did. She did make one shake out of a bit of her placenta, and she said it was really great when on those first few days when you're feeling really knackered and exhausted and you've lost a lot of minerals and, you know, you're rebalancing and stuff. She said it made her feel like she was on drugs. She was like, wow.
And I guess it's a sort of a gesture towards that as well, just having a little bit of superpower placenta.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. I've seen a placenta.
Yeah.
I think I've seen one of it. Like at school, I think we had to watch the film, you know, that sort of during sex education.
I've got some really good, I don't know if you'd want to watch them. I watched them beforehand and I really enjoyed them. They are positive birthing, hypnobirthing videos of people giving birth without even really making any sounds and just sitting and having a nice time.
What part of pregnancy did you have to start learning the techniques?
I started it quite late, so I had 9 weeks left, but you could start whenever. And it really is just a mantra of things that you say, and I had a couple of classes. But I don't like to be in group situations, so I just had one-to-one.
Wendy Wason, who we spoke to last week, talked about this thing called haptonomy. Have you heard about that?
No.
Turns out it's a French thing as well.
I love the French.
But it's like it's a way of, you through touch and through caring touch throughout your pregnancy, that the baby can respond to things. So like from tapping that it'll move, and it's about birthing and being together with your baby, that you're kind of, and for
Frank.
The partner.
Too noisy. A little bit too noisy. Can't really stop him from being noisy.
No, it's that's what I said as well.
Special
like
needs.
But it's also, you're a mum, you have a son. We're talking to people who have children.
He doesn't get what we're doing either, to be honest.
No, we must look weird. Just suddenly all the grown-ups going to sit talking into a big hairy thing.
But this haptonomy.
The thing is, though, right... That's lovely, but when a baby comes out, it's clueless. It has no response to anything. It can't even see. It doesn't do anything. It spasmodically moves for like 3-4 weeks until it can even get control of its
arms. I think this is before you, but...
So then how would it know anything if it doesn't know anything when it's born?
That it responds to, you know, like it responds to touch on the belly and...
No, I don't believe you.
I'm not an expert on it yet. And I've discovered there's no books about it. You can only do... No books in English anyway. There's only French.
You just got to talk to Wendy Wason. That's what you got to do.
Just got to poke your baby and it'll poke your back.
Yeah, you poke it in a certain way and then it comes out because you've done it together. That's all
I mean,
I
did talk to him a lot and, you know, like tell myself that I was going to... Yes, mate.
He's on a car.
What's that, darling? You want some sand? Okay, you two talk amongst yourselves.
He's driving a cool car.
Should we get some sand?
I'm going to get some sand. hi, Carl.
Hi, Hannah. How are you feeling now? You were a bit sick earlier.
I was very sick yesterday.
What have you eaten?
I didn't know
today?
If we were going to be able to do this podcast.
I know. We
so
almost
was proper lying
had
down.
To cancel it.
Yeah.
What have I eaten? I can tell today? The listeners about. You sent me a photo of your dinner yesterday.
Lunch, it was lunch.
Oh, lunch. I was in Brighton and you sent me a small plate?
Yep.
With a kiwi?
Yep.
And a omega-3 tablet?
Yep.
That was all you could manage.
Yeah, it was very good stuff.
Yeah.
Which and I've been really into kiwi fruits, as I was saying before.
And then you said you rarely found out.
Yeah, they're high in folate.
There you go.
I just thought they were high in vitamin C, and that's what I was...
Your body's telling you we need some kiwis.
Loads of...
And you've been eating kiwis and corn thins.
Yeah. But then Rebecca asked me how many kiwis she thought I'd eaten this week. How many do you think I've eaten?
Oh, I would say over 15.
Yeah, I think so.
I reckon you've averaged 3 a day.
Four a day, I'd say.
Oh, so yeah, you're probably on 20.
28, yeah. 20, 28 kiwi fruits a week.
That is, I mean, it's insane, really. We're just talking about Hannah's weird craving. She's eaten, we reckon she's eaten.
It's not crazy. It's not.
Knocking on 30 kiwis this week.
Oh, Jesus.
But it turns out they're full of, what is it?
Folate.
There was another person on this funny pregnancy program that I watched, one that carried her placenta around, and the other one ate so much fruit.
Yeah.
Like shelves upon shelves of smoothie down fruit, and that's all she ate for the whole pregnancy.
Wow.
It's a weird program, actually.
What, do you remember what it was?
No, I just remember being on Channel 4 and watching it when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm not going to watch that again.
We watched that little show on babies the other week, didn't we? There was a BBC one just about them learning, kind of as they're growing, sort of age 2 and things like that.
Yeah. It's I've gone mad. I've like, literally in 10 weeks, I've watched baby programs. I've read about 4 parenting books.
I know, when I said, how are you, Hannah? He went, well, she's actually okay. Yeah. she's a bit sick yesterday.
My head's gone.
You're going to be a dad, that's why.
I know.
And also, you guys have been waiting, haven't you? So it's slightly different, yeah. I think, when it's a bit more precious than most.
I thought I'd be much more sort of chill. Just let it be, man. And then ended up just ordered 50,000 books.
Oh. It's okay. It's the unknown.
Yeah.
To be honest... I know it sounds cliched and stupid, but nothing will prepare you and you'll totally know how to do it. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of, and that's the thing I think that sort of feminist discourse around of pregnancy and birth is actually, if you surrender to these things and you try not to, and you try to relax in the situations that you find yourself in when it comes to contractions, birth, anything, then your body actually, even if you were in a coma, would birth the baby.
Yeah.
It's the muscles doing it, not your brain. Yeah. So if your brain's getting in the way of that, then it's not a helpful tool. So if you there's ways in which you can learn, and people that you can have with you, like doulas and stuff, who can keep the brain out of it, because it's nothing to do with the brain.
Yeah, yeah, not at all. But that's so often what we get shown in those images and those ideas of what it is, which is when we got discharged from IVF 2 weeks ago, and that was the thing straight away. They're like, so where do you want to give birth? And it felt so funny to just have been like, okay, we're just pregnant.
Yeah,
going,
yeah.
Where are you going to have this baby?
And what's your midwife like?
We had one appointment and we're going to a different place next time. Oh. So, but I really liked the one we saw
but she was pregnant herself. Last week, she's going to be out of the picture for a while.
So you won't see her again.
No, but she said that other place is nice as well. So we'll see. We'll see what it's like there.
Did you like your midwife? Did you end up
changing? Mine swapped a lot.
Right.
And I liked my birthing midwives. I had 2 lovely midwives.
Mm. So you gave birth in a birth centre or a hospital?
Birth centre.
Yeah.
But then because I'd had such a huge tear, I had to go down to the hospital to get stitched up. So the birth centre was in the hospital.
Yeah.
But I didn't... Yeah, I walked in, went straight into a room that was called the Beyonce room, which was amazing. It was Beyonce... Christina and Brittany, I think, something like that. And it was all colour therapy, and they asked me what my birthing colour was, and I put that in there, and then Tim played loads of my hypnobirthing music for the whole time. I was in water, gave birth to him in water. It was lovely.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of gas and air when it was a bit, you know, getting to the end of being dilated, and then I didn't know. Some women have the gas and air while having the baby, but they said once it gets to the baby coming out phase, they said don't do it. You need to be able to focus.
Yeah,
and it's quite, you know, it's basically laughing gas, so it's like, whoa. The woman said to me, what do you do for a job? And I went, I'm a prostitute. She was like, oh my god. She was like, she's not.
And she would say sex worker usually.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And she would normally say sex worker.
I'm Mark Haynes, and for the last 32 years, I've been a fan of professional wrestling. My friend Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble he hasn't. But in our podcast, Wrestle Me, the two of us subject the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment, WrestleMania, to the kind of rigorous scrutiny that ruins it entirely. GQ called Wrestle Me enrapturing. Shortlist said it's beautiful. And it's a hit with common people too, with well over 400 five-star reviews on iTunes. Wrestle Me, available from all good podcast providers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Through your pregnancy, because obviously there was some trauma after Frank was born and he got sick. During the pregnancy, was there any, did you have any scares or anything? Or was it pretty just
not
normal?
Not at all. No, it was a very normal pregnancy and very normal birth, actually. So no, it's, I think, genetic, or if they don't know exactly what it is yet. But no, I had, the only thing I'd had is I went on a massive bender, like before I knew I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I did MDMA and I drank loads of alcohol and I, you know, one of those nights where you don't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And when I'd came back to the UK, I told my midwife that. And she was like, oh, you're going to have to go to an addiction kind of counselling service. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I went there for like one session.
Yeah.
Which was very stressful and embarrassing for me because it was full of heroin addicts.
Yeah.
And poor them. But like, I was also a bit like, I shouldn't be here. And then the doctor was like, just go home.
Yeah.
Middle class lady, just go home.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, good. I said, if I'd known I was pregnant, I wouldn't have got so high.
Yeah.
And then when Frank got ill, I was like, God, is that all that MDMA I took? And then the doctor said, no, no way. It's nothing to do with that. But that, I think most people I've spoken to, maybe that weren't in IVF, have had, like, have, you know, another friend of mine said she went on like a 4-day bender in Ibiza. And then she was like, shit, I'm pregnant, you know.
Yeah, I remember your friend, I remember Sam and Niall, Sam saying that they'd, you know, just been drinking drinking loads and kind of going normal life. But that's like, I think for me over the last, because I remember as well when you got pregnant, that at that time we were talking about it, because I think I'd said to Carl back then, I was like, I want to have a baby one day.
Yeah.
And so we started being less cautious about that. But that was four years ago. So it's kind of been... You know, we never really say that we were trying, but we weren't.
Not trying.
But through that time, definitely, I've had periods where I've been trying not to drink because I'm like, shouldn't be drinking in case something happens. I don't want to jeopardize that, and then going, oh, fuck it. And going through that whole.
Yeah, because you weren't drinking when I saw you at my show.
No.
And I thought you were pregnant.
Nah.
You just try not to drink. And also, if you're doing IVF, you can't drink. Is that true?
Yeah, but the IVF was only from the end of August.
Wow.
Yeah. So in Edinburgh, I was like, I'm not going to drink in Edinburgh. But then I drank for the first 2 weeks and then I stopped just before having to start taking the tablets, which is like preparation.
It's cut off.
there's like 8 weeks of preparation on tablets before we did any.
Was it painful, Han?
No.
Nothing about it was painful. No. Not the egg extraction.
No.
Were you under?
Egg extraction, you're sedated.
Oh, fine. And the keyhole?
I think.
Or up in.
I think it's up in and it's a needle and they just suck them out.
Jesus Christ alive, what the fuck?
And then when they put them back in, it's just like having a pap smear. They just, you're just there and they like shoot them up and they're like, okay, they're in there now.
And they literally like it's
did you have to lower the legs in the air?
Yep.
And they go to the next room and they show you them on the screen. They show the embryos. Then they go to the next room and like when they're ready, they shout through to like the, you can see the lab ready and a guy runs over with the thing.
Oh my God. How big were they?
They're cells.
Yeah.
We got a picture of
it's
them.
It's magic.
That's so cute and brilliant.
And that thing with the science, because I loved doing it that way, that I understood everything that was happening, you know, as the process went along. I'm like, this has happened now, and then this has happened now.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where I'm at. So I think as well with being suddenly, when pregnant and discharged from it all and going, what?
So weird. What is happening this now? About thinking about Dean and I thinking about getting pregnant again. And he, and I'm just like, it's such a different thought now. It's just like, oh, I can't wait to be pregnant. You know, like, and and I was thinking the other day, because I saw this tiny baby, I was like, oh, I remember having Frank when he was so tiny, and I want that again. And then the feeling of him moving and how lovely that was, and talking to him and all of that. Like, it, but at the time, it felt very scary. You know, all of those things were like, is this right? Is this normal? Like, hasn't moved in a couple of days. This time, I'll just be like, fuck it, I'm going to the gym, you know, or I'm going on a bike. And yeah. At the time, I was like, whoa. It will never be the same. The first pregnancy is always the most scary, I suppose.
But you also, you performed.
Up until 8.5 months pregnant, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid. I won't do that again. I've got a plan of like taking a lot of time off.
Yeah.
Just because I also like stress myself out. I went back to work after 3 months and then he got ill and I just had the most, literally the most stressful time. And actually like I really regret it because I wish I'd enjoyed my pregnancy more, like relaxed more, had more time with him. But yeah, you can't. You don't know, do you? I'm trying to make money as well. Really.
Yeah. Because that's that, you know, that I have been taking time, definitely, which at first I found quite challenging, being used to being really busy and doing a million different things.
Mm.
And then kind of mentioning it to a friend of mine, and she was like, oh my God, if you can be, kind of have free time at the moment and not be busy, take that time, especially if you're going to have a child soon, because how that will change your life.
Yeah. Changes your life.
The sort of time you get to yourself is really different.
Yeah. It is. I mean, to be honest, I'm just getting a bit.
Yep.
Just from right by this microphone.
I've got a really annoying cough, sorry.
Sorry, basically, everybody. I found that the first bit of it was. Hang on. We need a big.
Getting a bottle opener.
It's actually a can opener, guys.
Yeah.
See how this goes. Yep. Basically, what was I saying? Sorry, I'm an alcoholic, so I have to check out the beer. Oh, no. Oh, I know exactly where that is. Wait.
Yeah, waiting.
This is a really annoying part of the podcast. Basically, I remember it being like, oh, my God, it's going to be nuts. And everyone was like, it's going to be mental. And then, like, for the first 10 weeks, it's like having a little, like, cuddly toy. I mean, I had a very placid baby, actually. That's not true. Tom and his wife had a baby that didn't stop crying for the entire time.
Oh.
So they were literally just, pulling out their hair.
Yeah.
Me, it was like every 2 hours, he'd be like, he'd just go, and I'd be like, get on this tit.
Yeah.
You know, and then I started pumping as well because I wanted to go rehearse and stuff. I remember it being like, I mean, I was stressed, but it's fucking way worse now.
Yeah.
You know, like now you have to be like, don't fall off that top of that wall. Don't put that knife near your mouth. You know, that kind of thing. I'm looking forward to being pregnant again.
Yeah.
I hope I get pregnant. We'll see.
And do you think some of that was about kind of your age or where you were in your career? Did any of that have anything to do with you going, oh, I don't know, like how you felt about?
No, I'd wanted a baby since I was about 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been going out with these idiot guys, you know. Mm. I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I wanted babies, but I was going out with these fucking arseholes, basically.
Yeah.
No offence, dudes. I nearly had a child. I had a miscarriage at 27 and I was with a guy who I thought I probably could marry. He was a really kind of boring, like, dude, but very supportive. And then after I had the miscarriage, I was a bit like, get out quick. You don't want a baby with a dude.
Mm.
And then I sort of spent
how many weeks in was the miscarriage?
I don't know because I didn't know I was pregnant, so right. It couldn't have been long because I would have noticed if I hadn't gone my period probably after about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Just a very, very heavy, painful period, and then did a pregnancy test and I was pregnant. So went to the doctors the next day and then they said, no, you're not pregnant anymore. So
yeah.
But it wasn't traumatic for me because it was just like, oh, all right then.
But it more gave you that mindset of like, this isn't the right
person. Not the right dude, but I do want to get pregnant. And then, then when I met Tim, he was so stable, so I thought, you know, or like so, such a lovely family man. And like the way he spoke about his sisters and the respect he had for other human beings. I was just like, this guy's the one. And I said to him about 6 months into going out with him, I was like, chatting to Katie Mitchell about, I really want a baby, I really want a baby. Like, my drive to have a baby was so strong by then. I was like, it was literally like, just get me pregnant, someone get me pregnant. I was actually thinking about just getting pregnant, you know, and just having a child, because I just knew I wanted one. And then I said to him, it's going to have to be really soon. And he was just a bit like, whoa. And then he was like, no, I'm ready. I want kids. So we just got pregnant quite quickly. Maybe a year we knew each other.
Yeah. That just reminded me, I saw a panel that you did at Soho once with a few other women about, like, being mothers in the arts or something.
Oh, yeah, probably. I've done quite
Sophie
a lot of stuff
Hayward
around
that. And...
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
God knows.
Yeah, I just remember that being really interesting, of it being a...
Was, like, I pregnant or was
no,
I?
No, I think it was. No, I think it was before all that. I think it was around.
It couldn't have been, me then.
No, you were.
I was just like, no, I'm not a mother. I do work in the arts though.
Yeah, probably.
I wish I was a mother. What else? Tell me.
Have you got a question?
I want to touch your bump when it happens.
Yes.
Well, that's right now. I can't tell if it's happening or I'm just not sucking my stomach in anymore.
I know.
How?
I basically look pregnant now.
We just came from a friend who had a female dog who is just going into heat, and the dog went and laid on Hannah's belly.
She was, it was like she was really protective of me. She just came
that
over.
It's really, really, really sweet. Yeah. I love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the best things about pregnancy and birth, is that is feeling very primal.
Yeah.
And when you don't spend your life in a primal state, like, you guys are probably a bit more connected to the earth, and probably because you're not eating meat and stuff. I mean, I murder things all and eat them all the time, so I'm like, I'm
Carl's just waiting for placenta.
That's anti-gross. Yeah, just
I literally cannot wait for that.
And what, you're gonna eat her placenta?
Can't I? Am I
why
not
would
allowed?
You can't eat, can't that. Eat
his own. Isn't the father allowed to?
I mean, sure, but like, why? What? Are you okay?
Because I would like to
come here, please.
No, we have to.
Come here.
You talk about...
But yeah, I guess that the idea of, like, not being an animal.
Yeah. Hi, Frank.
Yeah? Are you an animal?
Frank's saying hello.
You want a biscuit? You get whatever you want today because it's Saturday. And also...
All right.
What do you think we're doing? Do you want to say hello to the people at home? No. All right, cool.
I want to eat a biscuit.
No, I just want some McVitie to get back to Despicable Me.
And I had, being the vegan thing, there's not many of those things that you can't eat. You know how you do pasteurized and all that. I had vegan blue cheese last week, and I was suddenly like, I ate it, and then I was like, oh, you're not supposed to eat normal blue cheese, and I have no idea what's in the vegan one because I hadn't
coconuts and smell.
Does it taste nice?
It does, actually.
Yeah, it tastes very blue cheesy.
Does it?
Mm.
See, man, I know I have... I say this to you every time I say it. I know I have to be a vegan. Well, Frank's practically a vegan. He doesn't drink milk. He doesn't like cheese. He won't eat meat.
Yeah.
He very rarely will eat some fish. He loves butter, though. Couldn't get him off the butter. But, yeah, I think his body's just gone like, no, we don't eat those things as new children of the world.
I'm still off green food. I hate it at the moment. I don't want to eat broccoli.
Can't even look
or
at,
kale.
I cooked quite a green-heavy... breakfast the other
day. Oh no, because you need that. You're eating kiwis, so that's a lie.
The multivitamins I'm taking are kale based, so I figured maybe I'm getting it through them.
The next thing that's going to happen is your scan, or you've obviously already had scans.
We had two little scans, but then on the 9th of December got another one.
So it's your last Christmas without a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means last Christmas where I'll get loads of presents.
Yeah.
Well, when they're babies at Christmas, nothing happens.
No,
true.
Your mum must be excited.
Yeah, she is. It's something that
I guess so.
We never really kind of, until we did this show that we made together, we've never talked about grandparents or me having babies ever. It was like, it was a thing I wanted to talk about in the show, but I didn't even bring it up because I was scared, because we just never talked about it.
Why not?
Because it made me feel not like a child anymore, I think. Which I know, obviously, I'm not.
I'm like 50 years old.
Hey, 39. But yeah, it's just a thing we've never talked, like, we never really talked about sex or anything like that either.
That's so completely alien to me.
So yeah, she brought it up and we started talking about the idea of me having a baby and grandchildren and things for the first time. And I do wonder if that also kind of opened things up to it happening.
Yeah, maybe.
That, you know, I believe in that stuff. Yeah. But now she couldn't stop talking about it after we started talking about it.
Yeah, she's probably super excited.
And now she's excited. And my dad as well. I think he's really been a grandfather in waiting for a long time. Like he's again, not openly, not kind of desperately, but he'll be so good at it because he knows so much.
You're so far away.
I know. So he'll be Skyping and visits, which is in a way a sad part about it, but you know, we might revisit.
I know it just sounds horrible, but it's a shame it isn't the other way around. My parents are like pretty crap. My parents are lovely, but you know, they're definitely, I think your parents are much more grandparenty. Whereas, like, my mum was really nicely surprised when we told them
a couple of days ago.
My dad was excited for 3 to 5 seconds and asked me what button he has to press on his phone to turn it off. you know, cool. they're much more old school sort of parents, but they're not sort of the hand. I can't imagine being like, can you look after the child for a night, to my parents.
We'll find out. That's a shame. Have you got siblings?
I've got an older brother who lives up north.
Has he got children?
He's got three.
Okay, so that's not their first time. No. Which can be a bit disappointing. I went to my mum. I'm pregnant. She was like, oh, another one.
Right.
My sister's got 4, 5.
But no, they were never like the most parenty parents. They've always just been like old school. Kids do their thing. We do our thing.
I remember, age 2 and a half, my dad used to take me onto the front step and teach me philosophy. And I remember it because I'd go, oh, not philosophy. And he'd
talk to me. How old?
2 and a half, being a little girl. And he would talk to me about big ideas and...
It's mad.
But yeah, the thing I remember about it was going, oh no, not again.
I do think that was about the age when I became cleverer than my dad, though. think I got those options.
No, they're going to be lovely.
My parents are very nice. Yeah.
Your mum's really excited.
I dig them out a bit. They inspire most of my shows.
Because
I'm dealing with it in adulthood.
They probably will have the baby. You might not want to leave them with it.
I don't think they can be trusted.
Did you have any questions?
I think I did, but I've forgotten them because we've just been chatting.
He usually asks if there's things that you should
do. What's advice for... Is there anything I can do during this time for
hypnobirth? I think it's a lovely thing to do.
That's right up my street. I love meditation and all that.
Yes, mate. Can I have another biscuit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The way you walk like such a geezer. You right, geese? Fine. There you go. That one's a bit soggy. Oh, you're covered in stuff, aren't you?
Great Saturday.
Classic rich tea as well.
That's our favourite biscuit.
Really?
It's just not like giving him like a really sugary biscuit.
Exactly, that's what
biscuit,
I mean. It's the most plain of biscuits.
Would you like some milk? In a little while, I'll get you some milk, okay? Oh, pardon me. You want it in your cup? Okie dokie. Demanding. How about a please?
Thank you.
So yeah, I suppose that in terms of hypnobirth, I'm well up for that sort of meditation.
There's lots of nice things for the guy because I think it can feel a bit spare party.
Yeah.
And it's actually I think it's much more scary for the bloke because you're in your normal... I remember Tim being like afterwards like, God, that was really, really horrible to watch because even though I was completely fine... In a minute. Please. I've come across as the worst mother.
She's a good mother.
She's a good
mother. Get that milk for me there and you can sip it from the bottle.
You brought his cup up.
Pass me your cup. Yeah, good idea. Well done, Frank. All these things are good for your physio. Bless him. Wibbly wobbly. So I think I remember Tim saying like, all your veins came and popped out in your chest and your face looked so scary. Yeah. And I think he, you know, the next day he was a bit like, glad that the baby was here, but a bit like, you're a bit weird, you're like a monster. You know, he was like, that was unreal. He was super proud of me and really complimentary, but he was also a bit like, whoa, that was so intense. I don't remember any of it.
Well, yeah, you feel, I mean, I know the last few days you sort of, when you felt sick yesterday, I felt like there's literally nothing I can do. Because it's not an illness that I can't be like, right, I'm going to go down and get you some Sudafed or something.
No, but I mean, being super handy like that, Tim was a bit rubbish at being like, okay, can you just go and get me like something from the shop? And he'd be like, oh, you'd be like, never ever say "ah" to me. Like, just go and get the thing. Yeah. I'm not being unreasonable. I'm literally just carrying our child. So that was something. Just do. Yeah, and I think hypnobirthing gives you lots of things to do. And then I think once the baby's there, my tendency anyway was to be like, no, don't worry, I'll do it to Tim all the time. Yeah. And actually what I should have done is, please take this baby away so I can sleep for 2 hours. Like, sleeping is so integral to being mentally well and being emotionally well. So just lots of going like, remember that you wanted to, remember that I need to take the baby just for 2 hours just to sleep. Because your instinct is like, no, don't take him, I want him on me.
Yeah.
But actually you need that like little bit of rest.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Any other business?
No, I think I feel like covered lots of things. Yeah, and I've got things to think about and think new things.
I can't wait till you can feel it move. Yeah. That was my favourite bit. And you need to text me the day that happens.
Okay, I will. I promise.
Next episode, we can update people on your kiwi count of the week.
Sure. Yeah, I had some gold ones this week as well, not just plain old green. Mm. Anyway, thank you so much, Bryony.
Pleasure.
And we'll all give attention to Frank now.
Yeah.
Yes, Frank. Bye. What's up, mate?
Thanks for listening.
Yes, you can play with Jay. Don't push camp.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.